Before we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, I call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking in the 22nd chapter. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. The Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. Now, Jesus and the Lord's Supper are in all of the Gospels, several of the Gospels and several incidences, but I want you to look at this one because this one does something special that you may not find in the other ones, depending on what the translations might be. But in Luke chapter 22, I want us to look at some things that are there. Jesus shares with his disciples in this enclosed room things that I would say, let's break it down into three things that maybe we don't ordinarily think of. The first thing Jesus talks about is this really is an old Jewish custom of what's called, what? Passover. Thank you. See if you're awake yet. Passover, or Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's what they have gathered together to observe. But then he talks about something else. Jesus includes words here that you and I cannot observe our Lord's Supper without seeing this. Jesus says what we're doing is personal. It's personal. It's not time to think of your neighbor. Now for next Sunday, I want you to think of your neighbor or your friend or your co-worker or family member. We want them to come. But right now, as Jesus observes this with his disciples, he says, we make this personal. And then the last thing he talks about here is something that is very precious, and that's memories. Memories. Precious memories. Let's look at the first thing. In verse 13, Jesus says, now we have gathered here to observe the Jewish Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Has anybody noticed the date on your bulletin or maybe on your phone? Now you can find your date and find the time and a whole bunch of other useless stuff on your phone. What is today? Somebody just say it. April 14th. Okay. Did you know that once in a while, that date of April 14th coincides with the actual Jewish observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? That day, every year, in Jewish custom, is what we call April 14th, and that is today. The Jewish custom of unleavened bread and Passover is actually on this date today. Actually, if you were in a Jewish family, you would have started last night at sundown, because you know Sunday for Jewish people started at sundown last night. So we're right now in the beginning of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now think for just a moment, where does any of that originate? Where does it come from? Why did Jesus and his disciples sit down to do that? Because they were observing a Jewish tradition, custom coming from the Old Testament. That's where the word Passover came from, as we know. When the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, were in captivity in Egypt, and they were there for over 400 years. And in God's sovereignty and timing, God told them he was going to release them. They were going to be given their freedom. One of the plagues that was given was the plague of death, or the curse of death, upon the Egyptians, as we know, to make Pharaoh let them go. And the Bible says that because they were Jewish, though, because they were God's family, that if they would take the blood of a lamb and put it over the doorpost, that when the death angel passed through Egypt, it would not strike their house. And we remember that powerful story there in the Old Testament. That's why it was called Passover, the death angel. By the way, in case anybody ever brings it up in your biblical scholarship discussions or anything like that, They never put the blood on the door. It was not on the door. Check your Old Testament. Where did they put the blood? On the lintel over the door and down the side on the post of the door. Why? Because that blood was precious, and when they would come out of the house, they would open that door to make their leave, to leave Egypt. They didn't have to touch that precious blood. They walked where? Somebody say it's beautiful. Through the blood. They walked through it for their freedom. I bet Michael and Brother Chris here could preach for an hour and a half on just that phrase right there, right? You could preach. They had to walk through the blood, but it was too precious for them to touch it. They walked to their freedom. And the Hebrews had been celebrating this now for all of that time, for century after century. And when it came time for Jesus and his disciples to sit down and have that, and by the way, this is more an accurate translation, because I think verse 14 says, and Jesus gathered them around, and what did they do? And the NIV has got it perfect. It says they inclined at the table. Now, if somebody had banana pudding, I'd love to recline on top of the table, wouldn't you? But they didn't. Well, they didn't pull up chairs in a dining room. Most Jewish houses back then, they had like block houses. You've seen cinder block houses. They'd have one floor, one square room, and then another block house on top. And the rabbi, the leader, would get up to the top room, make reservations for all of his followers, his disciples, to gather there, or you could gather with your families or whatever you were going to do. That's what they were gathered. They gathered around on pillows, and they would more or less lay up on one elbow as they were partaking off of a low slung head table, all of the ingredients. And that's where Jesus and his disciples are. But there's something more personal about this than just a regular feast of unleavened bread. By the way, Passover starts today, and then the feast of unleavened bread goes until, the 21st, next Sunday, for the Jewish people. It's 7 days after Passover. They met there, and Jesus said, I want your minds off of everything else. I want you to clear your heads and clear your hearts. Because in verse 19 and verse 20, look who Jesus says he is doing this for. If you have at least a halfway good paraphrase or translation, two times Jesus emphasizes, this is for you. He says, he passes the cup, the new covenant. He said, I'm doing this for you. He has the bread. He said, this is for you. No one else. How is Jesus meaning that for them? Now we know everywhere in the Old New Testament, John 3:16, everybody knows what? For God so loved the whole world, right? And Jesus died on the cross that anyone who believed could receive Christ as their Savior, be forgiven, be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, Jesus knew that, so Jesus wasn't contradicting himself. When he died, he was dying for everyone that would receive the invitation, accept that invitation. But right now, there's not another Jewish place in all the world that's observing Passover that's for them personally. Jesus said, I'm doing this for you. He wanted them to take this personal. And we have to do it too. If you ever witnessed anybody, if you've ever shared Christ, visited in a home, a hospital, whatever, once in a while, God blesses that with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can lead someone to Christ. And I know sometimes if an evangelist is preaching or a pastor or somebody's preaching, there may be one or more people that can come to Christ in that meeting. But no matter if it's one or if it's 1,000 walk down the aisle and get on their knees and receive Christ, 1,000 people receive Christ, let me tell you, it's still personal. It's still one-on-one between you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit convicting us. Salvation is personal. I've actually had individuals, maybe a husband, sometimes actually a wife, they would come to church and they would think that they're both saved because the husband goes to church. Oh, well, have you ever received Christ? No, my husband does all that for us. My wife does all that for us. No, my children like to go, and I'm depending on getting to heaven because my children are going. I like it. A phrase like this. If there'd only been one sinner in all the world, to be saved, Jesus still had to go to the cross, didn't he? When he died, it could have been just for one. He wants his disciples to know, I'm doing this for you. And then this last thing, and it's so good, that Jesus is telling his disciples, no longer do I want you thinking about Egypt. No longer do I want you to think about the death angel. What I want you to think about from now on is in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember when I go to the cross, I'm doing it for you. And from now on, when this time of Feast of Unleavened Bread, this Feast of is no longer about what happened in Egypt. That's just symbolic. He said, I want you to think now of the precious memory of me. The word in your Bible, somewhere in there, if you had a little good translation or something on the side, you might even have the actual word. The word is sacramentum in the Latin. And who knows what a sacramentum is or a sacrament. If you ever had any background, maybe in a Catholic church, I think at one time they had 18 sacraments that they observed. Well, we Baptists get a little bit lazy. We only got two. That's what? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Right. Why do we call those sacraments? Sacraments. What does it actually mean? It means to take an ordinary event or object and make it sacred. It has special meaning for you. Anybody ever done that? Have you ever taken something that was just an ordinary object and you made it a little bit more important than anybody else would? Let me ask you. I know we got a few maybe that's not married in here. How many of you are wearing a wedding ring today? Why? You said, well, my wife made me. Well, I got to wear it. Don't leave home without it. This past week, I got something on my hands and my wedding ring was about to slip off. And I bet you in 53, how many years? 53. I probably have not had this off three times. Usually it was with a doctor. they make you take all your rings off. You go to the hospital. That's the only time. I got something on my hand the other day and I just easily slipped that off. And I was washing my hand and cleaning it. And I looked, and I'm going to do it right here in front of you. And I looked, and I thought, who wrote this on the inside? It's got BJS, that's Betty Jo Sumlin, GVC, that's Garner V. Clark, February the 11th, 1966. You know, when I went down and bought her ring at Klein and Sons in Montgomery on Dexter Avenue, I put $10 down and paid $10 a month to get it paid out. You know, when I was in Klein Jewelry Store, they had 1,000 wedding rings. Not a one of them meant anything to me. Not one. And when women go in there, they see all these wedding rings, they see all these engagement rings, they see all these diamonds. Not one of them special to them. Why does this one make it special? because of what it reminds me of. This Lord's Supper should remind us of Jesus. He says in here two times, when you do it, you're just taking an old Passover unleavened bread festival, but next, from now on, think of me. Think of me. I've asked the question many times, have you ever tried to forget Jesus? I know he had a reason to tell his disciples, because they're about to get real busy after his death and then organizing in the church and Holy Spirit coming in Acts chapter 2. Man, they're going to be like a cat with a tail on fire. They're going to be going everywhere. And Jesus said, when it comes to Passover time, don't think of Egypt. Think of me. Think about the cross. Think about my shed blood. Think about the salvation that I provided for you. Don't forget me, Jesus said. And that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. We're going to observe that Lord's Supper. And the other thing Jesus says, and observing it with his disciples, is let a man examine himself before he comes to the Lord's Supper. And there again, next Sunday, we're thinking about others. We want them to come. Today, we're talking about examining our own hearts before the Lord. You wouldn't want to come to the Lord's Supper and still be carrying sin. Bad attitude, hatred, unforgiveness. How can you think of Jesus with that in your heart? That's why he says, examine your heart. Cleanse everything off. Come to the Lord's Supper. We're going to bow here for a moment. Ask you to bow wherever you are. Everyone to pray within your own heart. Examine your heart. It's not time to pray for the preacher. It's not time to pray for the missionaries. We pray for ourselves. And when you lift your head, that'll be indication we're ready to continue the service. If you'll pray at this time.